are Locked On Seahawks, your daily Seattle Seahawks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, 12. This is Corbin Smith, your host for Locked On Seahawks. Joining me as always, my co-host in crime, Rob Rang. It's Matchup Wednesday. We're going to be diving into all the key matchups to watch when the Seahawks host the Cardinals on Sunday at Lumen Field, including a potential third-string tackle going up against Chandler Jones. Not necessarily an enticing matchup prospective, but there's a chance we might see that, as we'll outline on today's show. Plenty of matchups that favor the Seahawks as well heading into this NFC West rivalry. Thanks, as always, for making Locked On Seahawks your first listen every day. We are free and available on all platforms. Now for your lead story here on Locked On Seahawks. When the Seahawks designated Chris Carson to return to practice last week from injured reserve, the goal was for him to potentially be available to play against the Packers on Sunday. Carson has been out since week 5 with a neck injury. Pete Carroll hasn't disclosed the specifics on that, but anytime you hear neck and injury together, it's not good news, especially for a running back that's constantly getting hit. But it looked like Carson was on his way back, and now we have to reconsider the possibility with Carson not practicing on Wednesday. He didn't practice last Friday. They didn't activate him to the 53-man roster this past weekend. We have to revisit the possibility, Rob, that Chris Carson is not going to play the remainder of the 2021 season. He could certainly be back next week. Can't rule that out. But this does not sound good that he only got through 2 practices coming off of injured reserve, and now they've had to hold him out the last 2 practices. Doesn't sound like he has made near the progress they were hoping for. And that's bad news when you consider the injury that he has.
Yeah, it really is unfortunate news, Corbin. I mean, we all know how optimistic Pete Carroll typically is. And when asked and asked again about Chris Carson during today's press conference, Pete Carroll basically just said that Chris Carson has not made the progress that they were hoping for. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that there's been a setback, that there's any type of new injury. But at the same time, clearly, Seattle needed to see some signs of improvement, and they have not seen that from Chris Carson. And considering what a physical runner that he is, that is very disturbing news for Chris Carson. I mean, I think that, it goes without saying that the number one, you just want the young man to be okay. But at the same time, Seahawks fans are all too aware of the fact that, some of the best players in this franchise's history, guys like Cam Chancellor and Cliff Averill, that they had their NFL careers basically, finished quite abruptly. I hate to suggest that there's a possibility of this, but it does seem more and more likely that it may not just be that Chris Carson is out against this game against the Arizona Cardinals, or as you mentioned, perhaps out for the 2021 season as a whole. We may have seen the last of number 32 for the Seattle Seahawks in the form of Chris Carson, and that obviously would be very, very sad news indeed.
Yeah, I don't think you can rule that out at this point. I mean, you look at how this process has played out. Like I said, he missed week 5 against the Rams, and Pete Carroll said at that point he was dealing with what has been a long-term neck issue that he's battled on and off. That right there put up red flags for me. This is something he has dealt with in the past. It kind of happens and then goes away for a bit. So, that told me on one hand, this isn't overly serious. If it's something that he's dealt with on and off and then it gets better and then he's fine, you can have a chronic condition and still play like this one. But we don't know the specifics on what necessarily is going on with his neck, but he's been on injured reserve now for 4 weeks. He is now in the middle of his 21-day window to be activated to the 53-man roster. I think that's the big thing I need to emphasize here. Even if the Seahawks think there's a chance in the next week or two that he's going to turn the corner and suddenly be good enough to go, I mean, they're going to have to make a decision fairly quickly. They get a few extra days because they didn't designate him until last Wednesday. So that means that they still haven't gotten – they're just 1 week into this process. They've got 2 more weeks to decide whether or not they want to activate him. That does give them some time, but that's really not that much time, though. 2 weeks in the perspective of things is not that much time. If he's not ready then what do you do? Do you activate him to the 53-man roster and make him a healthy scratch until he's ready to go? You take that risk? Do you decide, you know what, this is a neck injury, we have to be cautious, let's just shut him down? That could be the end of Chris Carson in Seattle. He has one more year in his contract, but they could easily move on from him after this year. It's possible he might be forced to retire too, depending on how this injury ends up progressing. So it's unfortunate. Hopefully number 32 will get to play again this year, but this is not a sprained ankle. This is not a sore knee. This is not a wrist that's bugging a player. This is a neck injury. And especially in today's NFL, with all we know about head and neck injuries, teams are going to do everything they can to be cautious about that. They have to be. Even if he hasn't had discomfort, which Pete Carroll said last week that he was no longer dealing with discomfort, he's got to show that he can take hits. And they put him through some contact at practice last week. And I just thought it was telling that he didn't practice on Friday, and now he's not practicing again today after having two practices where they just beat him around just a little bit just to see how he would respond to it. He clearly did not respond well at all. So that tells me Alex Collins, Travis Homer, Rashad Penny, and DJ Dallas, those are your running backs moving forward. And maybe Carson will make that big leap they thought he was going to make here in the next week. Who knows? Maybe he ends up practicing Thursday. This might be something where they were just trying to be cautious and we're going to give him another shot here, and maybe he turns the corner and he plays this weekend. I think it's a long shot, though, that we see him playing against the Cardinals on Sunday. I would even go as far as saying it's a long shot he plays against Washington the following week. This is a significant injury that just cannot be taken lightly at all. The Seahawks cannot rush him back. And that's not the only injury that's noteworthy when we're looking at the Seahawks going into this big game against the Cardinals coming up on Sunday. They are hurting at the left tackle position right now. Duane Brown, Pete Carroll did say that he came out pretty well out of Sunday's game with a hip strain. Did not practice today. He is day-to-day. Maybe he'll be able to play on Sunday. But the person who replaced him in the lineup on Sunday against Green Bay, Jamarco Jones, also missed practice today with a back injury. So now your number one and number two left tackles on the depth chart are both in question whether or not they are going to be able to play. And oh, by the way, Brandon Shell was also questionable with a new shoulder injury on today's injury report. So they are hurting at tackle. If somehow Brown and Jones can't play on Sunday, rookie Stone Forsythe might be making his first NFL start going against Chandler Jones and the Arizona Cardinals. Probably not what the Seahawks are hoping for this week. And oh, by the way, Jake Kieran might want to be ready at right tackle as well, given Brandon Shell's situation. I think he'll be okay. He was limited participant today, but still, they are banged up at those tackle spots. And this is not a good opponent to be shorthanded at tackle, especially given the offensive line issues they've already had.
Yeah, shorthanded at the offensive tackle position, shorthanded at running back would be a real disappointment against the Arizona Cardinals team that is just absolutely loaded with pass rushers. We're going to be kind of talking about that a little bit more later in the show, but also a team that is vulnerable against the run. And so if we were going to kind of end here on a positive note, I would say that Alex Collins has been Seattle's most consistent player on offense, at least in my opion, so far this season. So that's a good news that Seattle does have a quality backup or perhaps a starter at this point at the running back position. I do think that there is all the more reason to be optimistic about what we've seen from Travis Homer, especially DJ Dallas as well. And you know, again, Pete Carroll, going back to his press conference today, was really pushing the envelope with Rashad Penny. So I do think that there's an opportunity that Rashad Penny is going to get a little bit more playing time against the Arizona Cardinals. It's going to be interesting to see if he takes advantage of that opportunity. It's going to be one that's going to be right there for his taking.
And it might be that last opportunity at this point. He's got to do something. You know, they could excuse the first game or two back. We're trying to get a rhythm for him. He's been out most of the season injured, but you can't keep making excuses. This is year four. He's got to either make some plays or you can't afford to keep wasting snaps. You got to use your other running backs. And so, yeah, this is a big game coming up. I think he will get some opportunities. They're going to have to be able to run the football if they want to win on Sunday. We're going to get to the Seahawks offense versus Cardinals defense, some key matchups to watch here in a moment. But this episode is brought your way by Get Upside. It's an incredible app everyone who buys gas needs to know about. My listeners are making up to 25 cents for every gallon of gas every time they fill up. Just download the free GetUpside app in the App Store or Google Play right now and make sure to use the promo code TOUCHDOWN to get a bonus 25 cents per gallon on your first fill up. That's up to 50 cents cash back. Don't pay full price of the pump anymore. Get cash back using GetUpside. Download the app for free and use the promo code TOUCHDOWN to get up to 50 cents per gallon cash back on your first tank. Some people who drive a lot, such as myself, are making as much as $200 to $300 a month in cash back, and there's no catch. The cash back gets added right to your account. You can cash out anytime to your bank account, PayPal, or an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free GetUpside app and use the promo code TOUCHDOWN to get up to 50 cents per gallon cash back on your first tank. Let's talk Seahawks offense going up against Cardinals on defense. And this is a really solid Arizona defense that's been in the top five in scoring defense for most of the season. They did give up 34 points last weekend to the Carolina Panthers. A lot of that was because their defense was given really difficult position in short field after turnovers that the Cardinals offense had coughed up. They put the defense in a difficult spot, but this is a really talented defense, a well-coached unit with Vance Joseph as the defensive coordinator. Rob, let's talk matchups here. When Seattle's on offense going up against this much-improved defense, what's the first one that jumps out to you that is going to be critical for the Seahawks heading into this game?
Well, I think that you always have to talk about the quarterback position. I mean, that just goes without saying, especially the way that Russell Wilson performed or didn't perform, in Lambeau Field last week. But let's dig a little bit deeper than that. I really think that it is critical that Seattle be able to run the football right down Arizona's throat. As we just talked about in the first quarter, Corbin, that the Arizona Cardinals have given up an awful lot of rushing yards so far this season. And if Seattle is going to be able to protect Russell Wilson, then I think that, again, that the easiest way of doing that is to be able to run the ball down Arizona's throat. So, you know, we have not yet seen the spectacular play that was expected from Gabe Jackson, from Damian Lewis, and whether it be Kyle Fuller or, as expected, Ethan Posick. So I think that this is the game that they have to be able to step up their level of play. Obviously, you're playing at home, so you don't have the same concerns about snap counts, about the crowd noise and things like that. So I'm calling on you. From left to right, Damian Lewis, Ethan Posick, Gabe Jackson, you have got to be able to make some room against an Arizona defensive line that I think is pretty solid. Cordy Peters is a good football player. Zach Allen is a good football player. Anybody who listened to our podcast a year ago, Corbin, knows that I'm a big fan of Leckie Fotu as well. But still, Arizona has struggled a little bit, and so Seattle needs to be able to get some push in the interior. They also have to be able to protect Russell Wilson from the interior. Don't be surprised at all if Vance Joseph, the defensive coordinator, sends a couple of delayed blitzes with a really dynamic pair of inside linebackers, basically coming right off the edge and right up field in the middle against Russell Wilson. So to me, the interior of Seattle's offensive line might even be more important than the offensive tackles in this game.
Yeah, you look at the front line for the Cardinals. They don't have J.J. Watt now. He's out for the rest of the season. It's unfortunate for them. Unfortunate for a great human being. As I mentioned on the show yesterday, he's one of my favorites on and off the field. First ballot Hall of Fame talent. So that was a big loss for them. And they were already struggling against the run with him in the lineup. This has been a problem for them all season long. Early in the year especially, they were getting gashed on the ground. But they were getting by because their offense was playing really well and they were limiting explosive plays in the passing game. That's been their primary goal. So this boils down to those interior linemen getting after it. They got to create some movement. And that's something Pete Carroll talked about on Monday. He talked about it after the loss in Green Bay on Sunday, that they just haven't been able to create that push, create that movement with their offensive line that they anticipated they were going to be able to do. This is a great opportunity for them to do it. As much as I respect Peters, he's a pretty good veteran player. Allen is a good young player. Fotu is a difficult guy to move at his size. This is a defensive line they should be able to have some success against. And you've got young linebackers that occasionally get out of their run fits as well. So this is an opponent you should be able to run the football with. Now, let's stay along the offensive line. And I mentioned this last quarter. In a perfect world, Duane Brown would rediscover his 2020 self. Brandon Shell would rediscover his 2020 self. And you have two solid bookends at the tackle position. But that is not how things are playing out right now. and the Seahawks could have their backup or third string left tackle playing against Arizona this week. So this is a critical matchup for the Seahawks. Chandler Jones, he's done this to a lot of other teams, not just the Seahawks, one of the best edge rushers in the NFL. He's now the Cardinals' all-time leader in sacks for a reason. He is a dynamic threat off the edge, and he has killed the Seahawks in the past when they've had their starting tackles in the game. Jamarco Jones played against him a few years ago, and Chandler Jones owned him like he does to a lot of tackles. That would be a lot to ask out of Jones, let alone Stone Forsythe, who's barely played this year. He's barely dressed in games this year to ask the sixth-round pick, oh, hey, first career start, guess what? You get to block Chandler Jones. Good luck. Or you get to block Marcus Golden, who has 9 sacks that leads the Cardinals right now. Brandon Shell's been fine. I don't know that he's played quite as well as he did last year. He's been fine at right tackle. But that left tackle situation looms large, because if they're down to Forsythe, that really limits Seattle's playbook. You're going to have a hard time getting those deep balls because Russell Wilson's going to have very little time in the pocket to operate.
That's the thing, is that, again, I would love to just say, hey, the matchup to watch in this game is going to be Russell Wilson versus, say, Buda Baker or DK Metcalf versus Byron Murphy or all of those different, kind of exciting, quote unquote, skill position matchups that we all like to watch. But if the Seahawks are going to win this football game, and of course, that's what we're most interested in, not just the fantasy football perspective, is actually win this game, then they have to be able to run the ball down Arizona's throat. And they have to be able to protect the edges. And that's one of the areas that I think that is absolutely critical is, again, not just in pass protection, because Chandler Jones, Marcus Golden, as you mentioned, Corbin, are one of the most dynamic 1-2 punches in terms of outside pass rushers in all of the NFL. And if Seattle does not come into this game full strength at the offensive tackle positions, if you do have the two rookies, Stone Forsythe and Jake Curran, out there, then yeah, Seattle's going to struggle in pass protection. It's going to be all the more important that they are able to run the football. So again, Chandler Jones against Dwayne Brown, I think that's one of the more intriguing matchups of this game if it comes to fruition. The same thing with Brandon Shell against Marcus Golden. Marcus Golden's a really, really good football player, one of those kind of criminally underrated guys in all of the NFL. Again, 9 sacks in 9 games so far for the Cardinals. I mean, that obviously is a pretty impressive statistic in and of itself. And so they are two pass rushers that can absolutely take over this football game if Seattle does not start the game running the football and end the game running the football. If Seattle gets behind in this game and they have to try and pass their way back, then it might be a lot more than a right middle finger that Russell Wilson has to worry about when it comes to injuries.
Yeah, he might need some bubble wrap if they're rolling out Stone Forsythe and or Jake Curran as the starters in this game. And that's not disrespecting them, but this would be a really tough matchup to ask these rookies to try to handle going into this game. And we've mentioned the running game a lot. I want to talk briefly about the running backs against the linebackers, because the Cardinals have two really athletic hybrid Swiss Army knife linebackers in Isaiah Simmons and Zaven Collins that they've drafted in the first round the last 2 years. And those are the kind of linebackers that NFL teams are looking for in today's pass-happy NFL. They've had their issues against the run this year. They're quality coverage guys, because Simmons has played some safety before at college. Collins, for being his size, has the capabilities in coverage as well. Moves really well, fluid athlete. But they've had their issues, just like the Seahawks, defending running backs as receivers. They've given up 71 receptions to running backs this year. That's more than Seattle has given up. And we've talked time and time again about the issues the Seahawks have had with slowing down running backs as pass catchers. The Cardinals have had similar issues. Seattle has not thrown the ball to their running backs very often. And we know they can't run screens to save their life. So if they're going to be dumping the ball off, it's probably not going to be through that method. But if there's a game where Russell Wilson has to be willing to dump the ball off his running backs, in fact, should be wanting to do it, this would appear to be a matchup that the Seahawks could take advantage of. Even with the athleticism the Cardinals have at linebacker, they have had their issues dealing with running backs as pass catchers. It'd be nice to see Shane Waldron incorporate that into the game plan, along with using those running backs in the run game more than they have. They should be a big focal point in this matchup, because that has been the biggest weakness for this Cardinals defense.
Yeah, and I fully expect Shane Waldron to absolutely feature Seattle's running backs, whether it be in the running game or in the passing game, as you just mentioned. A big part of that is, again, the pass rush. You have to get the ball out of the quarterback's hands quickly, and that's one of the safest routes that you can do, is just a little dump-off passes to the backs in the flat. Now, as you mentioned, the Arizona Cardinals have two dynamic young inside linebackers, Isaiah Simmons and Zaven Collins, and I love that you use that expression that they're Swiss Army knives. They are that. They are incredibly versatile weapons. They're not hammers, though. And that's one of the things. If the Seattle can run the ball down the throat of these two linebackers, these are long, rangy, athletic guys. They're not the big physical guys. This is a game that you are going to miss Chris Carson's physicality. This is a game that if Rashad Penny can get going, because he does have the size and the straight line speed to be able to potentially create a big play, then this is the type of game in which he has to come up big. It's one of the reasons why Pete Carroll basically called him out in today's press conference. He knows that the Seahawks have to get their running game going if you want to have success against the Arizona Cardinals.
And I think Travis Homer's the real X factor in this game because of his receiving ability, his pass protecting ability. You're going to need that running back that can step up and pick up pass rushers, especially if you're missing your starting left tackle. And I think he's really improved running between the tackles. That extra muscle's helped him quite a bit this year. So maybe this is the game Travis Homer really takes on a feature role in the backfield. It's going to be a back by committee approach where they've had to go with over the past several weeks without Chris Carson. They've just got to find a way to get the ball into those running backs' hands as runners and pass catchers, and they've got to be able to stick with that the entire game. If they can do that, that might make the Cardinals have to play more closely the line of scrimmage, and maybe you can suck those corners and safeties up enough, you can catch them sleeping, and then DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett can get their big plays because the Cardinals have not given up very many of those this year. You're going to have to set up those shot plays against this defense. We're going to flip gears here with the Seahawks on offense, or Seahawks going to the defensive side of the football against the Arizona Cardinals high-powered offense here in a moment. This episode of Locked On Seahawks is brought to you by Built Bar. If you haven't tried a Built Bar by now, you are missing out. They say it's a protein bar, but it does not taste like one. You have to try one of these amazing bars yourself to believe it. Most protein bars are chalky or waxy, or they're just plain hard to choke down. A Built Bar is soft, covered in 100% real chocolate. When you bite into it, you know you're eating something different. It truly tastes like a candy bar. Built Bars are low carb, low calorie, low fat, low sugar, and high in protein. All the healthy benefits on top of just being purely delicious. And there are so many great flavors, whether it's coconut, raspberry, salted caramel, double chocolate, tons of great flavors to choose from. And this month, Built is coming out with new limited-time flavors every 3 to 4 days. So check out their website often. You don't want to miss it out. Go to Built.com and use the promo code LOCKED15 and get 15% off your order. Use the promo code LOCKED15 for 50% off at Built.com.
Bet Online is back and better than ever. A new web interface for the start of the basketball season and more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online is and remains your number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season. Head to their new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus from basketball, football, NHL, boxing, and UFC right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your favorite sports. Bet Online, where the game starts.
Continuing our matchup Wednesday edition of Locked On Seahawks, we're going to switch gears. We just looked at the Seahawks on offense against a talented Cardinals defense. Now the Seahawks on defense against a high-powered Cardinals offense. They've been missing some key playmakers. Most notably, Kyler Murray has not played the last two games with an ankle injury. He did practice on Wednesday. It sounds like there's a pretty good chance he's going to be back in action for Arizona to get their starting quarterback back. But they do have Colt McCoy if they decide to wait one more week and have Kyler Murray sit out a third straight game going into their bye. That remains to be seen. They've also been without DeAndre Hopkins. Their offensive lines had a few guys that have been beat up as well. That was part of the reason they really struggled last week against the Carolina Panthers. Let's talk matchups here. Seahawks on defense have been playing much better. Rob, what's the first matchup when you look at this Arizona offense that you think is going to be critical going into this NFC West rivalry match?
Well, I think it's very similar to what we talked about in the second quarter, Corbin, that, you know, of course you can focus in on the quarterback. I mean, if Kyler Murray is playing, then that adds a whole different element to the Arizona Cardinals team. If it's Colt McCoy who's playing, then the Seahawks only need to go back a year ago when Colt McCoy was playing for the New York Giants and beat the Seahawks to remember that, hey, that is not as much of a drop-off as it might sound on paper. So I think that, again, you got to focus in on the line of scrimmage. So to me, this is one that Seattle's defensive line has to do with basically the exact same thing that we were arguing before that Seattle's offensive line had to do, and that is control the line of scrimmage. So just like I called out a couple of players by name a couple of moments ago, I'm going to do the same thing. Puna Ford, where are you at? You signed this big extension, and yet we haven't seen some of the big plays. And so it remains to be seen if Arizona is going to have their former Pro Bowl center, Rodney Hudson, on the field for them. If it's Max Garcia, if it's the, you know, expected starters at left guard and right guard and Justin Pugh and Josh Jones, then I'm calling on Puna Ford, the quick twitch kind of three technique that he is, to be able to create some interior pressure. That the same type of bulldoze kind of pass rushes that we've seen before from Brian Monet, you need to see that in this game as well. Colt McCoy or Kyler Murray, they are both athletic enough to be able to kind of wiggle the way through pressure. If Seattle is able to get a little bit of an interior push, then I think that the outside rush guys should be able to get home and slow down the quarterback for the Cardinals.
I'm going to include one more name in this matchup that I thought played really well the other day with 21 snaps. He has been a healthy scratch six times, and that's left us scratching our heads for most of the season. But LJ Collier, I thought LJ Collier played really well on Sunday against the Packers. Now, he didn't have any pressures, but he had a couple really nice plays against the run. He does have three quarterback hits in just three games played this year. And, oh, by the way, he had one of the biggest plays against the Cardinals last year when he forced a hold in the end zone on J.R. Sweezy with his interior pass rushing ability. So I could see LJ Collier being a X factor going into this game, both as a run defender and a pass rusher. If they could get some contributions from him after how this season has played out for him, if he is able to show, you know what, I can still be a contributor for this team. Pete Carroll made it sound like today he's dug himself out of that doghouse a little bit. He has another really nice game. Maybe he plays every game the rest of the season. And instead of trying to move him this offseason, maybe his fourth year, the Seahawks still might have some plans for him. So this is a big game for him. And I think he has a chance to be an X factor for the Seahawks on defense. Now, speaking of X factors, everybody talks about DeAndre Hopkins. They talk about Kyler Murray, Zach Ertz acquired from the Eagles, AJ Green. There's a lot of talented football players on this Cardinals offense, but I think you hit on this yesterday. James Conner has arguably been the MVP for this offense when you consider what he has brought to the table, and Chase Edmonds is out for a while. He's on injured reserve, so now this is James Conner's show. He already has 11 rushing touchdowns this year, Rob, and he has brought a physical presence to this offense they didn't have in the run game. He's a downhill between the tackle style runner who has really surprised them with how natural he's been as a pass catcher in the screen game. He's done some big damage on screens, and we've talked about this ad nauseum. The Seahawks do not know how to defend running back screens, so you know Cliff Kingsbury is going to be dialing that up. I'm looking at you, Bobby Wagner. I'm looking at you, Jordan Brooks, who said today, I've got to be better against screens. You had your struggles last week with A.J. Dillon on that 50-yard screen play. Brooks missed a tackle there. You're going to get tested again by James Conner out of the backfield, and he's going to bring his hard hat as a running back too. I think James Conner might be the real X factor for the Cardinals on offense. You look at the numbers, maybe X factor isn't even the right word given how prolific his stats are to this point.
Yeah, that's a good point, you know, and I agree. I think that the Bobby Wagner, especially Jordan Brooks, you know, they have to be very much keyed in on James Conner. And, you know, I thought that you spoke pretty eloquently about one of our favorite players in all of the NFL and J.J. Watt previously. So I'm going to do the same or attempt to do the same thing here with James Conner. I mean, there might be some of our Seahawks listeners who remember James Conner at Pitt, remember the fact that, you know, that he missed a year and had his life very much disrupted with a diagnosis on leukemia and came back from that and has now become a spectacular player previously with the Pittsburgh Steelers and obviously now with the Arizona Cardinals. So I'm rooting for the young man, maybe not in this particular game against this particular opponent, but at the same time, to me, he is the epitome of what sports and just, you know, life is all about in terms of his grit. He is exactly the type of player that the Seahawks have focused on, guys who have overcome something off the field to be incredibly successful on the field. And you are absolutely right that he has become an MVP caliber player for this Arizona Cardinals team. And I say that with all due respect to Kyler Murray, who I think might be one of the MVP or best MVP candidates for all of the NFL. But there is not a player on the Arizona Cardinals roster who has epitomized toughness and grit and that want to kind of attitude that you need to have if you are going to win a ring when it's all said and done. James Conner has been that. So it's critical that Seattle be able to slow down James Conner. He does not have elite straight line speed. He does not have elite wiggle, but he does have elite want to. And we have seen Seattle struggle against bigger, stronger backs here in these last couple of weeks. And so it's going to be critical that they slow down James Conner if they're going to have any chance of slowing down the Arizona Cardinals offense, almost regardless of who is playing at the quarterback position.
When Cliff Kingsbury came into the league, he was obviously an air raid coach at Texas Tech. He had to make adjustments when he got into the league because he quickly realized, I can't run that system the way I did in college at the NFL level. It just doesn't work. And they really have embraced the run game. And James Conner has given them that identity with him being that downhill physical running back that they didn't have the first 2 years that Kingsbury was on the sidelines. And so it really has changed their offense for the better. And looking at our last matchup, you and I talked about before the show, obviously we could talk about DeAndre Hopkins, AJ Green, Christian Kirk, Rondale Moore going up against Seattle's secondary. That's obviously going to be crucial, but Kyler Murray, 73% completion rate. We know he's a dynamic athlete, one of the most athletic quarterbacks in the league, has the ability to beat you with his arm and his legs. For his size, has a great deep ball as well. He's a natural deep ball thrower. You can see the baseball background, just like Russell Wilson. And you and I agreed, this game is going to boil down to Kyler Murray, if he plays, going up against Seattle's safeties. Jamal Adams last year, the game they played at Lumen Field, and I think it was actually week 11 last year these two teams played at home, they were using Jamal Adams kind of as a QB spy safety. Sometimes you see that with linebackers. Sometimes you see it with safeties, players like Jamal Adams. But they had him up around the line of scrimmage a lot. They had him playing in the middle of the field as a linebacker. And he was hovering around as a spy. There were several times that he chased down Kyler Murray when he tried to get outside of the pocket. I can see the Seahawks handling this the same way this time around with Jamal Adams being that hybrid linebacker, spy linebacker that's keeping an eye on Kyler Murray at all times. And then in the back end, Quandre Diggs, with all the weapons that the Cardinals have and several guys that can win as deep threats, he's going to have to be on his A game, and they're going to need him to make a play at some point. Maybe that's just a pass breakup to take away a deep ball. Maybe it's his fourth interception of the season or a forced fumble. They need Quandre Diggs to make a big play in this game. And you know Kyler Murray is going to test him at some point because he's a very good deep ball thrower with the weapons he's got. They will test number six at some point. So I think the safety play is crucial when you go against Kyler Murray because of his passing and running ability. They need to play their best football on Sunday to help the Seahawks win this game.
Yeah, they really do. because, you know, as we kind of talked about, I mean, the Arizona Cardinals, with all of their skill position talent, they're going to spread Seattle out wide. And so that means that the two guys in the middle, the two safeties, are going to have, you know, a huge, huge challenge in this football game. But you mentioned Jamal Adams, and, you know, you and I have each been, you know, me probably as much as anybody out there has been as critical of Jamal Adams, you know, but at the same time, I thought that he was one of the real, real bright spots against the Green Bay Packers. Obviously the interception, but just the fact that Seattle trusted him to be able to create pressure and allowed him to be that instinctive playmaker that he is. So I'm hoping that Seattle will continue to allow him to play the way that he is at his best. And that's near the line of scrimmage, being the instinctive playmaker that he can be. To me, the whole reason why you made the huge financial and draft pick investment that you did in Jamal Adams was exactly this type of game. It was to slow down the big tight ends like George Kittle in San Francisco. It was to slow down the dynamic receivers and running backs that the Rams have. And it was absolutely to slow down a dynamic talent like Kyler Murray. And again, it remains to be seen if Kyler Murray is going to be on the field for the Arizona Cardinals. But again, Colt McCoy beat the Seahawks, you know, here recently. So you cannot just take him for granted that means it's going to be a victory. Seattle has been beaten too many times by quarterbacks who have less talent and less heart than Colt McCoy does. But Kyler Murray has talent and heart, and is just an absolutely dynamic player that can do just about anything that he wants to do on the field. There are not many guys, Corbin, that at this stage in my talent evaluation career that I would be willing to put money down to watch them play, because they are just that damn special. But number one for the Arizona Cardinals is that special. He is just an amazing player. Now, he will make his mistakes. He will throw the ball into coverage at times. And that's why I do think that Quandre Diggs, that the free safety position, is actually going to perhaps play even a bigger role than Jamal Adams. But in terms of X factors, I think that Jamal Adams and Kyler Murray are the X factors in this game on this side of the football.
Thanks for making Locked On Seahawks your first listen every day. Now make your second listen the Locked On Bets podcast, your daily one-stop shop for all your gambling needs. Locked On Bets is hosted by your boy Q, with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling. Make sure to check it out wherever you subscribe to podcasts. You can follow me on Twitter at Corbin Smith NFL. You can follow Rob at Rob Rang. Make sure to check out Locked On Seahawks. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and the all-new Odyssey app. That's AUDACY. Coming up on Thursday, I'll be teaming up with the Locked On Cardinals team, Bo Brock and Alex Clancy, for our weekly crossover special, breaking down this upcoming NFC West matchup between the Seahawks and the Cardinals. Thanks for listening in. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday. Go Hawks.